Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12. We will begin at verse number 14. And it simply says, follow peace with all men and holiness. You need to follow peace. You need to follow after holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. We got to do this. Amen, amen. We want the Lord to help us here tonight. Praise God. I believe that we are in week number 6, lesson number 4. Amen. Thanks to a long-winded preacher. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we shall see. Amen. I want to talk to us again about holiness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you help me pray here tonight? The will of God would be done today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Amen. Praise God. Last week we did not get quite finished with the first half of the lesson. And so I'm going to finish that first half here, and then we will follow in or into the remainder of the second half. Praise God. But we want to turn our attention to the 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14, where we left off. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 14. Praise God. And we continue to get in. We are talking about the whole man. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 14, read. All right, he said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, Paul, first of all, as we established last week, is admonishing and instructing the church that is in Corinth. And this simply means that he is talking to the saints and as well to the new converts. And so in this, he is letting them know that when they are converted, that there are some differences that began to happen and began to take place. Understand that he is not writing to the sinners of that city, but unto the saints of God that are in the church. Praise God.
Right.
Amen. And he starts off by telling the saints that they are not to be unequally yoked together. Amen. Once they are converted, they are to begin the process of unhooking and unharnessing themselves from unbelievers. Amen. I do believe that there is a balance that is in that. For if you do not have any type of fellowship with unbelievers, then who are you going to win? Amen. You got to have some type of healthy balance that is in there. You just need to make sure that you are doing the influencing and they're not the ones doing the influencing, so that you can be influential in their salvation. And so Paul is dealing with the ideology of relationships and their unions or their connectivity and how that they are bound together. together, and he is going to give us several examples of being harnessed, of being yoked up with unbelievers. And so he starts off and he says,
"For what fellowship?
What fellowship
hath righteousness
with
unrighteousness?"
Unrighteousness. He said, "What partnership can there be with righteousness and unrighteousness?" Read.
"And what communion?
What fellowship can there be?
Hath light?
Hath light
with darkness?"
With darkness. It is physically impossible for us to turn the lights on in this building, and for half of the church to remain dark and pitch black, and the other half to remain light. Amen. When the light is turned on, there shall be light. John chapter number 1 and verse number 5 said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended or could not overcome it." Read on. Let's see the rest.
"And what concord..."
Or in other words, what harmony...
"hath Christ with Belial?"
What harmony or what agreement can there be with Christ and Belial?
"Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?"
What commonness is there between the believer and the unbeliever? Go ahead.
"And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?"
So when God redeems you, he is looking to unharness you, to disconnect you from the things that shape and the things that influence your identity. And I think that that is extremely important. Amen. Brother Michael and I were in a Bible study this past Sunday afternoon, and we got to talking about this. Amen. That identity shapes you. That identity influences you. And so you've got to be careful who you fellowship with, what you fellowship with. And we're going to get into some of these things here today simply because, amen, the things that you are influenced by are going to identify or are going to become your identity. And so Paul is admonishing us that we need to cut off the yoke and disconnect the yoke, amen, from the unbelievers, unrighteousness, the darkness, amen, infidels, and of such. Amen. Why should we do this? Read on, and he says,
"For ye are the temple of the living God."
Amen. He gives us a revelation here, and he says that you are the temple of the living God. God does not want you hooked up with the things of this world, because that you belong to him. Amen. Amen. You're not of the temple Diana. You're not of the temple Ashtaroth. Or can we say you're not of the temple, amen, of the nightclubs and the bars, and how that you used to frequent those places, and you used to frequent the places that were dark and that were shady. And he said, but you are not that temple. Amen. But you are the temple of the living God. And if we want God to live within us, then we are going to have to separate ourselves from the temples and the idols of this world. Why? Because God has no desire to share you with unrighteousness. God has no desire to share you, amen, with the things and the ideologies and the belief systems of this world. Amen. We belong to God. Amen. God's not going to share his presence with a state of rebellion. He's not going to share, amen, his residence with a state of lust. He's not going to share there, amen, residency with ungodliness. Amen. You cannot hook up with the things of this world. Your life cannot be full of lust. Your life cannot be full of rebellion. Your life cannot be full of ungodliness. And you still continue to, amen, harbor the Spirit of God in you. God said it's them or it's me. Amen. It's righteousness or unrighteousness. Amen. It's the temple of idols or the temple of God. It's believers or it's infidels. It's Christ or it's Belial. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way that he stated it. And that's the way that it's got to be. We've got to get this revelation that God's not going to share his glory with somebody else. Hallelujah. God's not going to share his temple. God's not going to share his residency with some foreign spirit of the world. And so he says, be not unequally yoked together.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. When God called Moses, amen, from the burning bush, and Moses began to approach that burning bush, God said, stop right there. Amen. He said, if you're going to have fellowship with me, you're going to have to take off the things that are in contact with the carnal earth. Amen. He said, take off those shoes. Take off your shoes because you're getting on holy ground. Amen. It wasn't holy ground as in sacred. Amen. Because that was some pinpoint. Special coordinates. Amen. That he had deemed that was going to be holy. But rather it was holy because that he was there. Amen. That bush that was burning but was not consumed. Amen. And the ground which in it was upon was holy because that God was there. Amen. When you came down to an altar, God was beckoning you to come down to him. Amen. But he was also asking you, amen, to take off some things. Amen. To get rid of some things. And in that process of dying, in that process of repenting, you began to empty yourselves out. Amen. So that the Holy Ghost could feel you, that the Holy Ghost could take up residence on the inside of you. Amen. You had to get rid of that sin. You had to get rid of the immorality. You had to get rid of that carnal nature. Repent of that carnal nature so that God could inhabit that. And people that don't receive the Holy Ghost, it's because there's an area that's in their heart somewhere that they're harboring. It's something in the past that they're not willing to give up. It's some part of holiness here that they're not willing to give up. And when they finally give that thing up, there is an infilling of the Holy Ghost. You say, why is it that some get the Holy Ghost much quicker than others? I believe that there is total surrenderance and total submittance. Amen. Submission unto God. I believe that God's got to finish and to accomplish or to do a work. He continued work in them. But friend, when we empty ourselves of ourselves, when we empty ourselves of our will, when we empty ourselves of our preconceived ideas, we allow the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, to enter and live amongst us. Praise God. Amen.
Jesus.
Praise God. And so he says, you are the temple of the living God. You now belong to God. You don't belong to yourself any longer.
No.
You belong to God.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. This isn't some type of get out of jail quick and get rich scheme that God frees you and God delivers you or God saves you and then you get to go back and do what you want to do.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. But he says there in verse number 16, He says, you're the temple of the living God.
Yes.
And he said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It doesn't happen any other way. Amen. You don't get to, I know that may sound a little bit harsh, but I want you to think about what God set you free from. I want you to think about what God delivered you from. I want you to think about what God redeemed you from. I want you to think about where you were headed. I want you to think about your future. I want you to think about the hardship and the mishaps, amen, that were well on your path and just a few miles down the road. I want you to think about, amen, the chains and the bonds of slavery and of sin and the guilt of condemnation and the guilt of sin that was upon you. Amen. But the Bible says, but God, amen, God came in and God washed you and God redeemed you. And God said, hey, if I buy you, not only are you going to be mine, but I'm going to be yours. You belong to me. But at any given time, you can call upon me. And when you need help, I'll be there to help you. And when you need assurance, I'll be there to assure you. And when you need victory, I'll be there to help you through that. And when you need healing, I'll be there to heal you. And when you need strength, I'll be there to lift you up. Amen. Praise God. There was an agreement there. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And this is the promise that God has made to those who unharness from the world. If you're going to stay yoked up to the world and the things of this world, amen, then God's promise is conditional. It is conditional. He said, if you will do this, then I will do this. There is condition there. Praise God. And so he says, this is what's going to happen. Amen. And God takes care of his own. And ownership is going to express identity. And it ought to be that the world is able to look upon you and be able to see a difference in you. Praise God. It's not because you've got a sign hung around your neck that says, yes, I am a Christian. But the way that you act, the way that you conduct yourself, the way that you talk, the way that you ought to be able to handle your temper, the way that you conduct your business ought to signify, I'm not like everybody else in this world. Praise God. Praise God. Don't hold claiming to be a Christian if you can't handle yourself and your emotions, and you go off the handle every time somebody crosses you, and you go to yelling at them and screaming at them. And if this is the case in your life, then you need to find a place and say, God, I need you to help me in this manner, in this situation. Praise God. I said there ought to be an express identity about you. People ought to understand that you're different. People ought to perceive that you're different. People ought to be able to just be aware that you are different. Praise God.
Amen.
There needs to be a distinction when we are living for God. There needs to be a distinction. Praise God. I can get over in that, and we can talk about where in the very next verse he says, wherefore come out from among them. And I'm going to get to that here in just a minute. Amen. But there needs to be a distinction. Praise God. I don't care what the world says. The world's ideology is to blur the lines in every area of life. Amen. That's why transgenders, it's not right. It's not right. Why? Because there's no distinction. That's not my rules. That's not my principle. That's God's principle. Amen. And so what a revelation when we begin to think about this, that I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I believe that's why the Lord said that you ought to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Amen. And that is the first commandment that is given. And the second commandment is like unto it, that you would love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, upon these two laws hang all of the commandments of the law and the prophets. Why? Amen. God said, if you and I are going to walk together, if you and I are going to be caught up together, if you and I are hooking up, if we are walking in agreement, amen, can two agree to walk together except that they would be agreed? And the Lord is saying, hey, I just want you to know right now, I'm the one that paid the price for your soul. I'm the one that redeemed you. I'm the one that bought you out of sin. You were on your way to hell. You were on your way to a lost eternity, except that I stepped in and called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Amen. So you need to love the Lord with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength before you start giving your emotions away. You young men, before you give your emotions away, amen, to some young lady, you need to first seek the kingdom of God and find out if it's right. Along with that, you're going to go to your pastor and you're going to find out what he thinks. Amen. Don't get emotionally connected to them and then come find out how that I feel about it, or if they're good or if they're not good. Amen. Because you're not doing yourself any type of favor. But oh friend, there's only one thing in life that matters, and that's that I'm saved. I gotta be saved. I gotta make sure who I hook up with is right, because a twofold cord is not easily broken. It doesn't matter if that's a bad connection or a good connection. If it's a bad connection, it's not easily broken. Friend, I want to make sure that all of my ways are right with God. Because if you get the wrong one, they're going to be bringing in all kinds of things, and the Lord's going to say, "Nah, I'm not interested in fellowshipping with that. I'm not interested in fellowshipping with rebellion. I'm not interested in fellowshipping with ungodliness. I'm not interested in fellowshipping with all of that." Praise God. But when you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that being the first commandment, the second commandment is loving your neighbor as yourself. You're not worried about idolatry, and you're not worried about adultery, and you're not worried about fornication, and you're not worried about a lot of things because, amen, you're in love with God. Praise God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16:20 said, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. You belong to God. Your body belongs to God. Your spirit belongs to God. Amen. Our body doesn't belong to God, but to, amen, to us, but to God, because he purchased us. He redeemed us. Amen. And so the movement, my body, my choice, that's anti-scriptural. That's anti-God. Amen. My body does not belong to me. It belongs to God. Therefore, I'm going to seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Praise God. My spirit does not belong to me, but it belongs to God because he purchased it. Therefore, my body and my spirit belonging to the Lord, amen, I am whole. Amen. I can be holy because that he lives inside of me, but my entire body, W-H-O-L-E, is the principle. It is the essence of holiness, not just a part of me being holy. For who cares if my sleeve links cover my entire fingertips if I've got a rotten attitude and a bad spirit, if I don't know how to forgive my brother? I'm just telling you, you're not very holy. You gotta be holy in body, and you gotta be holy in spirit. You can't have the outside right and have the inside all dark and harboring spirits and mad at everybody and holding everybody. Amen. Jesus said, you got to be able to forgive, and you got to be able to walk on about this. Don't let the devil steal your inner holiness.
holiness. If you're going to be holy, you got to be holy in body and in spirit.
Amen. Let's go on to verse number 17, 2 Corinthians 6, 17.
Yes. Wherefore, come out from among them.
In other words, he said that in everything that we have just discussed, in this talking about relationships and connectivities, in juxtaposing this compared to this, he says, as a result of all of this, how can light have communion with darkness? Christ with Belial.
Yeah.
Righteousness with unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Believer with unbeliever.
Yeah.
How can that be? As a result of all of this, what did he say?
Yes. Wherefore come out from among them.
He says, be ye separate.
Yes.
Read.
Yes. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
This is the word that the devil hates. This is the principle that the devil hates most of all in the church. And the world hates this part. And that is separation.
Right.
True separation. Complete separation. Somebody says, well, I don't believe a little bit will harm me. That's anti-scriptural.
Amen. Right.
That's not scriptural. He said, as a result of all of this, you can't have 90% God and 10% world.
Yeah.
There's still a harness there. And when it's only 10%, even that 10% is going to be dragging you down because the 10% is trying to go this way and the whole time you're trying to go this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Lord's saying, look, if you want an easy relationship with me, if you want to get to heaven and you want to do it as easy as you can, you've got to separate from the world. You've got to come out from among them. And that is the principle that the devil hates. Amen. The devil is like saying, I don't mind if you go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I don't mind if you go to Bible study on Wednesday night. I don't care if you even go to prayer meeting on Tuesday night. But just don't disconnect, amen, from your worldly influences. Just don't disconnect from worldly music. Just don't connect from worldly acquaintances and worldly things. Just don't let there be a complete amen. That's why the devil hates, amen, the principle and the doctrine of separation. Because when there is complete separation, he has no hold on you. He has no pull on you. He cannot influence you. The only way that he can influence you is there has got to be connection. There's got to be a harnessing back up. Well, one song isn't going to matter. And the devil gets a hold with a bulldog grip. And he don't let go very easily. He's look, I don't mind if you go to church. I don't mind if you listen to that preacher. Just don't disconnect. Just don't disconnect. And that's what the Lord says. He said, as a result of all of this, you're going to have to separate yourselves. Praise God. Amen. We could talk about separation was the principle of God. And I'll just go over that real quickly. You know it. You've heard me talk about it before. But even from the beginning, separation is one of the earliest principles that's found in the Bible. Amen. If you got a problem with separation, you don't have a problem with me. You got a problem with God. You got a problem with His Word.
Right.
Amen. In the beginning was the in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void and full of darkness. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And He separated the light from the darkness. And He separated the water from the land. And He separated the night from the day. And He separated the trees, amen, from just confusion. And He separated the animals, and He put them in their kingdoms, amen. He separated the cows and the apes, and He separated all of these things, and everything has its genetic order and its place. And then when we get over and you even get into man and woman, amen, and God put distinct differences between them, amen. He put a man and He put a woman, and there was distinct separation or difference between the two. And when we get over to Noah and the ark, amen, He separated the good from the unclean, the clean from the unclean, the good from the bad, amen, two of this and seven of this, and He put male and female together, and there was separation and principle that was there, amen. And so the Lord brings this about it, and He says, "Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive." He put a difference between the holy and the profane, the clean and the unclean, the righteous and the unrighteous. Praise God. God did that. And He's saying, look, if you want an easy life, here's the key to it all. You're going to have to separate yourself from the world.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Oh,
yeah. Praise God. Amen. I remember that pool. I remember that pool being in high school. And at that particular time, I had the second fastest 40-yard dash in the high school. And I don't really remember. I want to say I was a sophomore at the time. I may have been a junior, but I know I wasn't a senior. I had the second fastest 40-yard dash in the high school. And I had coaches that were saying, "Look, Mark, you need to run track. You need to run track." I said, "Oh, no, I can't do that. I don't even like to run." Amen. If I'm running, check behind me. Something's wrong. And so finally, they, you know, I had to take PE. And so there I was in PE. And I had my long sweatpants, my long gym pants. I didn't wear shorts. Amen. I had my godly attire. I was separate. And yeah, everybody looked at me and everybody wondered what kind of goofball I was. Amen. But they weren't faster than this goofball. I still held a godliness. And so finally the coach says, look, he said, my physical education teacher, he came to me and he said, look, he said, I made a deal with the track coach. And he said, here's the deal. You don't even have to go to any of the practice meets. All of these other practice meets that's out there and stuff like that we go to on a weekend, amen, basis and stuff, you don't have to go to any of those. All you have to do is just show up at district. That's it. Because we know you're going to win district, and then you're going to go to regional. And when you go to regional, then there's the possibility of going to state. You've got times that can do this. And you know why they came to me, and you know why they told me that I didn't have to go to all these practice meets and that all I had to do was show up at district? You know why they did that? Because I told them, I said, look, I said, I don't have to go practice. You know what? I don't even practice and I'm faster than all of you. I don't even practice the long jump and I can outjump all of you. I couldn't jump higher, but I could jump, you know, as long. And I had numbers that the guy before, he was actually in my class and he was actually a little bit faster than I was, and he had the number one time. And but he had state record, not record, but he had state measurements measurements in the long jump that qualified him for state. And I was doing the same thing without training. And they said, look, okay. So you don't have to come after school and you don't have to practice and you don't have to run and you don't have to do all that. Just show up at district. That's it. You see, when you play around with the world, they're going to come up with an excuse. They're going to come up with an excuse. And, you know, it was the same way in band. It was the same way in band. If I would have continued on in band, I would have gotten all kinds of scholarships with band, playing the trumpet and such like that. I was well on my way to doing that. As a matter of fact, the young man that I trained and taught how to play the trumpet, he's the one that won all of the awards in his senior year in doing that. But you know what? I didn't go to football games. I didn't march at the football games, and I didn't do any of those things and such. And so you know, there they were out there, and they were marching, and there was just this blank space where I was supposed to be. And they tried to make me feel bad about it. Oh, we look goofy. And it's like, you did it, not I. And so, you know, then the next year, the music teacher comes in, and he says, all right, this year's going to be different. And this year, if you don't play in the football games and such like that, then you're not going to get a passing grade. I said, well, if it's preordained that I fail, I quit. I quit, and I went in and I told him. I said, all right. I said, well, I guess that's it. I guess I'm out of band. No, you can't quit. You can't quit. I said, yeah, I have to. He said, why? I said, you said that if I don't go march in the football games, then I'm going to fail. And if I'm going to fail, I can't fail. You know, I'm on the National Honor Society. I can't fail. So I just quit. I'll go join up with, you know, whatever, home ec or something. I don't know. I'll go make cookies. But it doesn't matter. I'm not going to fail. And so he said, oh, no. I'll tell you what you can do. You can just come in here and you can practice. I said, no, because what law you're going to, what excuse and justification you make for me, you're going to have to make it for others and stuff like that. It's just better that we just disconnect and go. And so I dropped out. I dropped out of band and went and gotten drafting, or I think it was, or something like that. And so, but there is the allurement of the world that is there. The enticement of the world. And you say, well, what's wrong with all those things? Just keep coming. And in a few weeks, yay, a couple of months, we'll get to it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the principle is there. The principle is there. He said, look, you belong to me. You're mine. This isn't about your desires and your loves and your passions and your whims. And amen. This is about ownership. You belong to me. I purchased you. He said, and as a result of all of that, come out from among them. Who was he talking about? He was talking about the world. He was talking about the heathens. He was talking about all of those things. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. I think that there is a very keynote identification factor in being separate. Amen. What he was saying, amen, is you're not going to look like the heathen. You're not going to act like the heathen. You're not going to fellowship with the heathen. You're not going to be influenced by the heathen. You're not dressing like the heathen. I want you to be different. In the book of Exodus, the Lord spoke and he said, I want you to be different than all the people on the face of this earth. When people look at you, they're going to know those are the people of God. When people look at you, they're going to know there's something different about that. Why? God said, I don't want to mess in with you. I don't want them influencing you. I don't want to, amen, partial. I want you to be totally disconnected from them. I don't want there to be a connection that they can influence you. Praise God. Praise God. And so, he said, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. Praise God. I will receive you. The clean has never been able to touch the unclean and make the unclean clean. You can't do it. Praise God. You know, the only way that you can touch an unclean plate and make it clean is you got to wash it. You ready to talk about baptism? That's the only way that the unclean becomes clean is they got to be washed. They got to be cleansed. Praise God. Amen. You walking around carrying an unclean plate doesn't make it clean. It's still dirty. And as a matter of fact, science will tell you that when you touch these unclean things, that you become unclean. How do we have the transferring of viruses and such? It's because some unclean person touched that clean doorknob and put their germs on it. And then you came with your clean hands and you touched that unclean doorknob. And then you took it and you wiped your face or whatever as you went through the door and stuff. And now the unclean and all those germs are on you. Amen. There is a principle that is involved in this. He said, touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. Praise God. Amen. I believe that it is unique in that even Adam and Eve, when they were talking, we'll talk about this in a few weeks' time, but there was something that Eve said. She said, no, we're not supposed to eat it. We're not supposed to touch it. And the simple factor was that if you're not touching it, you're not eating it. If you're not touching with the world, you're not fellowshipping with the world. If you're not touching the world, you're not necessarily going to be influenced by the world. I know that there are other things and ways of being influenced than being touched. And we're going to get into that in a few weeks because that comes through our senses. And our senses bring information. And our senses bringing information begins to, inform us. In other words, it begins to form us. We take on identity in what we look upon. We look upon things and it becomes the identity of the heart. Look upon darkness. The heart is full of darkness. And so that bond has got to be broken. He said, what fellowship does the... telling you, it is important what you listen to, important what you don't listen to, important what you touch, what you don't touch, important who you fellowship with and who you don't fellowship with. I want to be godly and I want to be right because I want to be saved. Praise God. And he says, I will receive you. I will receive you. He said, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Yeah. What's up with all of these people that want to say, God doesn't care? When I look at this, I see very conditional conditions that are submitted and put before me. Yeah. He says, if you touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. There is condition that is there. And so these people that want to say, God doesn't care. Excuse me? Come on, friend. This isn't Cowan's revelation. This isn't Cowan's doctrine. Amen. This is the Word of God. And I'm telling you here today, you listen to me today, that people struggle throughout their entire walk with God because they do not get this simple principle that we're talking about here today. The whole man. God wants all of you. He doesn't want just part of you. Amen. He doesn't want you on Sundays and then you're worldly on Mondays and godly on Wednesdays and ungodly on Thursday and Friday. God wants all of you. God doesn't want you to be spiritual at times and unspiritual at other times. I understand there's balance that is in that, but I'm just saying that so many people struggle because they do not get the concept of wholeness equating to holiness. And the principle that is established there, that God says, if you will come out, I will be your God and you will be my people. But there's people that have got shackles and they've got yokes upon them and they are yoked up with all kinds of worldliness. They're yoked up connections. They're yoked up and just all kinds of things. They're yoked up with this worldliness and they're struggling. and they're struggling. You've heard me. You've heard me say it before, and you've seen me use the illustration before. Come here, Brother Daniel. Brother Garrett isn't here. You're the one. Turn sideways. We got to do a good presentation. Look at me. Sideways. There we go. There we go. All right. And there are people that struggle in their walk with God. And you know how I know that they're struggling? Stay. Because there is a disconnect that is there in service. There is almost a foreign look that is about them in service. They act like, to a great degree, they've never been in a Pentecostal church before. And everybody else is just worshiping and having a good old time, and they're sitting there, you know. They look so abnormal. Everybody else is happy and smiling, and they're just sitting there. They're struggling with something. There's something in their life, amen, that they are struggling with. And as they are struggling with this, amen, there's a devil on the other side, amen, that's pulling them. Amen, they're between a rock and a hard spot. And they don't know what to do. I'm just telling you, they do know what to do. They're just unwilling to do that because of the love of the world that is there. Amen, it's something in their past. It's something, amen, that they're not willing to let go of. It's bitterness. It's unrighteousness. It's ungodliness. It's rebellion. It's desires of the heart. I want to do this. I don't want to let go of that. And there they are struggling. And they continue to grow weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And they come to you and they say, oh, please pray for me. I'm just struggling. I'm having a hard time. You want me to show you how hard it is to stop struggling? Just let go of it. All you got to do is let go of it. And when you let go of it, that connection is broken. And here's the devil saying, I don't mind if you go to church on Sundays, but don't disconnect. I don't mind if you go to Bible study on Wednesdays, but let's not disconnect. And you're knowing all the time, I need to delete that number out of my phone. It's not a good connection. It's not good conversations. It doesn't need to be happening, and you're struggling, and all you got to do is just slide that to the left and push delete, amen, and confirm it, and it'll be gone. All you got to do is get it out of your playlist. All you got to do, amen, is set you some parameters, amen, and some instructions upon your device. All you got to do is turn loose of the world. Amen. The Bible says, love not the world, neither are things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's love the Lord here tonight. Praise God. The concept of separation is antithetical to the world. They don't understand it. They don't understand what the big deal is about it. And you know why they don't understand it? And you know why they don't understand what the big deal is about it? They don't have your testimony. They don't know where you came from. They don't know the story behind your darkness in life. I was talking to Brother Marlon Richardson in Colorado Springs one time, and he was telling me, he said, bro, he said, I used to stay in my apartment. He said, I was so close to being homeless. He said, I stayed in my apartment with no electricity and no gas, no furniture. And he said, I would curl up on the floor and get under my sleeping bag because it was so freezing cold in there. And he said, I don't know why I didn't die at times. But God. Some of you have got some very, very similar stories of where you came from. And the world looks at you and they don't understand why you're different. They don't understand why you choose to be separate. And that's because that when you had done everything and there was nothing more to do, you sat there on death row with your head hung, your hands down hanging beside, a sign of defeat. And you knew what was coming. Death was coming. But God stepped up and said, I'll buy your redemption. And somebody stepped up and said, not so fast. What he owes is a lifetime. And the Lord said, if it cost a life, then I'll give you my life. So you're different. You're not like the world. And they don't understand that, but you've got a testimony that they don't have. Micah, did I give you Exodus? Let's begin to read. And I'm closing. We're almost finished with part one. I'm closing. Exodus, read.
If thou buy an Hebrew servant.
And so the law came down and it said, if you buy a Hebrew servant,
6 years he shall serve.
He's going to work for you and serve you for 6 years.
And in the seventh, he shall go out free.
But in the seventh year, there is going to be the year of freedom, the year of liberty.
If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself.
If he came in with nothing, he leaves with nothing. I don't care what he's gained in 6 years. If he came in with nothing, he leaves with nothing.
If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him.
If he came in married, then his wife can go with him. But
if his master have given him a wife.
If his master gave him a wife.
And she have borne him sons
and or daughters. And she's given him children.
The wife and her children shall be her masters. And he shall go out by himself.
He has to go out by himself and his wife and his kids. Stay at the house of the master.
Yeah. Yes. And if the servant shall plainly say.
But if the servant shall plainly say.
I love my.
I think that there is uniqueness about this in that the Lord said that the servant shall plainly say.
Yes.
Plainly say.
No, plainly. Yeah.
He's going to have to make a declaration so that all can hear.
Yeah.
And he shall plainly say,
I love my master.
I love my master.
My wife.
My wife.
And my children.
And my children.
I will not go out free.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
And then?
Then his master shall bring him unto the judges.
And his master says, all right, if you've plainly declared it, I want you to come here.
He shall also bring him to the door.
And he brings him to the door.
Or unto the doorpost.
And the doorpost.
And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl.
And his master shall take his ear and put it up against that post. And he's going to put an awl up against that. And he's going to pierce his ear through with that post, with that awl.
Yes. And he shall serve him forever.
And he shall serve him forever. In other words, from this point on, boy, you don't look like everybody else. And if you ever go out there in the world, oh, I wish somebody would hear me here this day. If you ever go out there in the world, there is going to be a mark of condemnation. No matter how much happiness you think that you're having, you're going to be so miserable. You're going to try to drink your troubles away, and you're going to be so miserable. And you're going to try to dope it up and get as high as you can, but you're not going to be able to escape the memories that you had in the Master's house. But when you plainly say, I love my Master, can I just skip ahead and just tell you as we get into the rest of this, amen, we'll get into part two next week, amen. But really what it all comes down to is relationship. Relationship. It's not about what you wear. Yes, it is. There are some things, because if you love your Master, if you love, there's some things that you're not going to do and some things that you will do. I'm sorry, but the concepts of this world are so foreign to me. I don't understand how that a man who is married can be so happy about his wife parading around in public in nakedness, exposing her body. And he's so happy about it because men are drooling over her and eyeballing her and pointing at her and making solicitations towards her and calling out to her and catcalls and stuff. And how can a man be okay with that? This is a messed up world. But yet there is a God that's jealous over you with a godly jealousy, and he says, "Oh no, you're mine. You're not the world's. You're mine. You belong to me." And as we stand here tonight, if you'll come out from among them, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And so there is the doctrine and the value of separation. And can I just say, the world doesn't understand it.
Right.
To them, it's foreign. They don't understand separation from the world. They don't understand covering your body. Some people would say, oh, I don't cover my body because I get so hot. That's a lie that the world has sold you. It really, really is. I'm not just being facetious. That is a lie that the world has sold. The world says, take your clothes off. Take your clothes off. Parade around in your underwear and you'll be cool. You'll feel cooler. You'll be better. You won't be so hot. Well, somebody needs to go and tell the people in the Sahara Desert that. Somebody needs to go over there into the lands of Africa when it's 125 and 150. 40 and in the Arab nations and tell them, hey, I've got a revelation. If you take your clothes off, you'll be cool. No, what do? They cover themselves from head to foot. They put something on top of their head, and the only thing that's showing is their eyes so they can see where they're going. Because they haven't bought into that lie. But you know, that's what the devil wants from the beginning. He wants to strip you of your dignity. He wants to strip you and shame you. And it's become so common. Nakedness has become so common in our world today that nobody thinks twice about it. And If I had to tell you, we could go back less than 100 years ago. We're not that far.
Right.
Less than 100 years ago. And nakedness was not an issue. Oh, nakedness was starting to creep in into those little shows and those little girly dancers and such like that. But everybody looked down upon that. And police would even come and write tickets and give tickets to people that was immodest. They didn't even have the two-piece bathing suits that's fluent in our day and age. But they were immodestly exposed and they got tickets for that. But then the era came out and said, it's my body, my way, my body. God says, no, it's not. It's you belong to me. You belong to me. So I'm helping you here tonight. I'm helping you. Please listen to me. I know that there are so many that have preached some of these scriptures in meanness and acidity. Come out from among them and be ye separate, blessed God. You better get rid of. And you know what? You really need to. But I'm here to tell you, your life walking for God is going to be so much easier. And my question to you is just, do you want to be saved or do you want to be lost? And you can't serve two masters.
Right.
You can't hold on to the world and to the church. And you can't do the things of the world and try to stay in the church. Because God says, "Now you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision." And you're like, no, I don't. Because I'm going to come to church and I'm still going to clap and I'm still going to shout. But I'm still going to do all this stuff. And slowly but surely, you just get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Because God keeps saying, uh-uh. And God withdraws, pulls away, and he says, we don't share residency with worldliness. We don't share. And so the secret is, just let it go. Just let it go and let God help you. I'm opening up these altars here tonight because there are several of us here tonight that we need to bring some things to the altar and we just need to let it go. We say, God, I want to be holy. I want to be holy like you. And so, God, I'm going to bring my worldly passions, my desires, my loves, my motives. I'm going to bring the things that motivate me, move me, stir me. I'm going to bring the things, oh God, that are not necessarily of you, and I'm going to drop them at the altar. I'm going to drop them at the altar. People will condemn you and they'll critique you for it. They'll laugh at you and they'll mock you. But they just don't understand.
Lord, in the name of Jesus.
And the devil the whole time is just trying his best to just keep you from separation. Oh, I don't care if you sit on the front row. I don't care if you go to that church. I don't care if you sit on the back row. I don't care if you're faithful every service. I don't care if you sing on the platform. I don't care if you just don't separate. Just don't separate. That connection. Just don't break that connection. God says, I want the whole man. I want the whole man. Praise God.